All right, remember, the machine knows if you're lying. First statement, Carvana will give you a real offer on your car all online.
False.
True, actually. Oh. You can sell your car in minutes.
False? That's gotta be...
True again. Carvana will pick up your car from your door, or you can drop it off at one of their car vending machines.
Sounds too good to be true, so true!
Finally caught on. Nice job. Honesty isn't just their policy, it's their entire model. Sell your car today, too.
Carvana.
Pickup fees may apply.
Your mom and dad. Your mom and dad. Your mom and dad. Your mom and dad.
Well, welcome home, family. It's
your mom and dad.
Welcome.
Good morning.
Good morning,
hello, everybody.
Everyone.
It's great to see you. Great
How's
to be here.
How's everyone doing? How are you doing?
I injured my thumb.
You did?
I didn't tell you about this, but I'm injured and it's kind of hot. You know, oh like when they're like hiding, it's like I'm always injured.
Like nurse you back to health energy?
Yeah.
I have like
a little hockey injury. Not big. I've been playing hockey again. No big deal. And
yeah, I don't think you've really talked about that, but you've gotten back into what you once were, a hockey player.
Yes, I've been playing hockey again.
Ice hockey, baby.
Yeah. And and there's like, sometimes you get a little injury in your thumb when you're like with the hockey stick. And it, you know, it's kind of like when you are shooting again and you're like not really in the hockey shape, kind of hurts a little bit.
Oh. Do you want me to
That's my injury. Is that it hurts a little bit?
I like that you'll have literally like shards stuck in your hand, or your knee will be blasted to oblivion, and you won't tell me about that. Mm-hmm. But the hockey injury, because there's the sexiness, there's the va va voom to it. You're like, oh my god, my thumb.
Yes, my poor hand. All I can do is. Well, I was going to say something inappropriate, but yes, it is very...
Don't get us demonetized in the first few
minutes. It is very bad. It's a very bad injury.
I'm surprised you didn't come with it wrapped.
I'm so obsessive with things.
I know.
It's truly interesting.
You are the epitome of like a phase king.
Oh, God.
You like find a passion and you have a serious phase with it.
You want to hear something embarrassing?
Like you have a romance with new things all the time.
Yeah, I get really like into things and then, you know, I burn them out.
Yeah, hard.
I burn them deep. I burn them hard and then I burn them out. And I'm in the hockey. I've played like twice. And you should look at my search history right now. Some people would say, don't check your man's search history. And if you checked mine, it would be 99% like hockey practicing drills.
Oh, wow.
It would be like... getting like, you know what I mean? Like I feel it rising.
Yeah.
You know, it's like stuff that when you're like 12, you do.
I knew it was coming.
Why am I practicing?
Yeah. I knew it was coming because all of a sudden you started taking Ember ice skating a bunch and you started taking her then. And she
thought it was just
I thought it was just like, oh, what a sweet, sweet father.
It was. And it started
because
that way.
She loves it so much.
It started that
way. You started taking her ice skating like every day. And I'm like, oh my God. Like you'd be super busy. You'd be like making time to do
Like it's really important to have bonding time. Oh, and I'm like, Ember, shut up. I'm working on my skating. Yeah. I'd make her sit in the bleachers while I skated.
God, that's not true.
But I would then, without you knowing, drop her off at a you know, a camp.
Yeah,
and then I would go ice skating.
No,
but we
ice
skated so much that she was like, I'm okay.
Yeah,
the other day
was
I was like,
can
we go ice skating? And she's like, And I was like, what?
She's like, you burn that out.
And I was like,
fast.
You don't say no about this. But no, it's been very fun. But yes, I feel that classic, like, distracting. I'm thinking about it multiple times a day. Like I'm getting back on the ice and I'm not as good as I used to be. And so it's very frustrating. It's very like, you know, you're getting to that age, like when you really can't do any of this fun stuff you used to do at the same level. So the brain is starting to turn into that dad that's like out there trying to get good at a sport that doesn't matter anymore again. So I need to check myself
a
little bit.
But I'm happy for you.
Thanks, babe.
You know, I can't wait to come see some of your games.
It's not going to be sexy.
It'll just be a bunch of old
guys playing.
But I'll be in the stands flashing, you know, with
like,
my...
Dude, there's some lady flashing us.
There's
no one in the stands. I played one game and there was no one in the stands. So you would be by yourself.
Flashing.
Some crazy lady flashing the 20 guys. And they'd be like, dude, does anybody know that person is?
I'd get immediately arrested.
Yeah, you would be like, there's a flasher here. In your mind, it's like, this is for Evan.
Hey, babe, this is for you.
But the reality is that people are calling the police. Yeah.
Well, you know, stay tuned. We'll see if it happens.
We'll see what happens.
I also have a new obsession. So everyone, obviously,
yeah,
we're
you're
here.
You're a face queen too. Like, I might have my little moments that are, you know, a little more like.
I think yours are more active and mine are more watchy.
Yeah, yeah. You're a little more TV.
You're more like start businesses and do activities, and I'm more like watching TV, new shows, type things.
Yes.
But obviously, we are here to recap Jen's latest Bachelorette episode.
Yeah.
And I'm very excited and I'm loving watching this episode. But TBH, I am loving watching something a little bit more because, as you know, I have gone deep into the romantic fantasy reading, and that is continuing. Don't you all worry. I am continuing with that, but now I have simultaneously become addicted to watching Twitch streamers play Dress to Impress on YouTube.
Yes.
If you haven't checked out Dress to Impress, it's just a game where it's like fashion show. So they give you a new runway concept and you get 5 minutes to dress up your character and then you vote who wins on the runway. And when I tell you, I have been watching, it's so bad. Everything that I'm doing, whenever I'm doing anything, it is on in the background 24 hours a day. It's not good. It's not healthy. Dress to impress. And this has now led to a pipeline of me just watching everyone who's Twitch streaming in general, all the different games that they're playing, you know, a gas station game, a supermarket game. I am now fully addicted to watching Twitch streaming and I kind of feel like I want to start.
Honestly?
So anybody, if I began a Twitch streaming career at the young age of 35, would you watch me?
Okay, my question is, don't you need to like, don't those people like stream for 12 hours a day?
Yeah, you'll never see me again. You're going to have to, you know, so you and Ember are just going to be kind of lost
out at
sea here.
So I'll kind of marry a second wife that can kind of help me with Ember.
Yeah,
and then you'll just be our resident Twitch streamer.
I'll be the resident Twitch streamer in the home.
Okay, fantastic.
Yeah, yeah.
And what will...
It's my new passion.
Will you have like a niche? You know, niche?
I think my niche will be the oldest Twitch streamer there ever was. Because I'm pretty sure I would be.
Twitch streaming to the grave. That's your handle?
My name would just be old.
Yeah.
Oh, like that would just be my
old
Twitch.
Lady Twitch streamer. I love the idea. It's like very Facebook mom energy where it's like you just say what it is.
But they're like, get off the Twitch streaming, okay? You're too old. Like how once the older people started coming on Facebook and then they started coming on Instagram and now it's like the TikTok and I'm like, get out of here.
Personally, I think that's a move. I think that probably it's very competitive in the young 20s realm, but the mid 30s realm where people don't have actual time for these things. I'm feeling like there's a hole there you could fill.
I feel pretty good about it. And
but yes,
I don't know how to work any of those computers. I've never played any of those games.
Work those computers? You're like one of those old people that go, it's in the email. And you're like, no, grandma, it's in the notes app. And it's like, everything's in email.
It's in the emails.
But I think you'd be amazing at it.
Thank you.
I honestly think you would be really,
hey,
really
good.
Hey,
let us know
in
the comments. If I started Twitch streaming, would you all be interested in watching me?
I would be,
cut
absolutely.
Cut to me having like those five computers, video cameras.
The different angles.
I need to learn how to play the games first and foremost. Maybe that's part of my niche, is that I don't know how to play any of these games. And so you watch me absolutely struggle for like 9 hours during a stream.
Yeah, you're just the
have
Twitch stream is
constantly.
Not you playing the game. The Twitch stream is you trying to figure out how to like get the game to work and turn the gear on.
Yeah, I think I'm absolutely slaying, absolutely cooking, and everyone's actually just watching
you're not
me
playing,
to
demo.
Make fun of me. Yeah. I'm fine with that.
Although, you know, you're into some weird stuff because and maybe it's just because I'm out of touch, but this whole thing of people playing games that simulate normal life.
Yeah.
Very strange to me. But the fact that I was watching you watch this and I was completely dismissive and scoffing at it. And then all of a sudden it was 20 minutes later and I'm like, I get it.
Yeah.
But I can't tell you why I get it.
There's just something about watching someone playing a video game that it's like
very,
when I watch you play, I love
right.
watching
I play
you play
Zelda,
a video game.
Something very soothing about it.
It's soothing. Anyway, hey, chat.
Oh, so that's what they say. They say, always say, hey chat.
Hit up in the comments below if you'd be interested or would watch me on our YouTube. Hit up the comments below if you'd be interested in watching me Twitch streaming and failing at it miserably. Just, you know, let us know.
What's up, chat?
Anyway, chat, we have to take...
You want wanted to see that so bad. You wanted to test it out.
It feels so good.
What's up, chat?
It feels so right. Hey, chat. I'm going to take a poll. Nice. Anywho, let's take a quick pause before we got to dive into this episode, sir,
let's
because I have some things to say with this ex returning, honey. So family, listen, they are doing some gorgeous traveling this season. They really have been on the season of The Bachelorette, staying at some gorgeous hotels. But if I was on the show, I'd really miss my home because I love our place. And one of the biggest reasons I love our place is because of the indoor and outdoor furniture that we have. It's beautiful, it's high quality, and a great price because it's all from article.com, babes. It's our absolute favorite place for furniture because over the years of getting furniture, it's proven to be simply the best. Like I said, over the years, we've gotten a couch from Article, dining room table, chairs, side tables, and more. We're always so impressed with Article because of the style, the quality that maintains over the years that we've had these pieces. And again, the price.
I love Article. Mm-hmm. Article believes in gorgeous design for every home. And thanks to their online only model, they have some really gorgeous prices too. And their curated assortment of mid-century modern, coastal, industrial, Scandinavian, and boho designs makes furniture shopping simple. And this curated assortment really makes it easy to put together incredible designs in your home like you're an actual interior designer, which I absolutely am not.
But you make it look so good because of Article's curated assortment. It's truly incredible. And Article offers fast, affordable shipping across the US and Canada. Plus, they won't leave you waiting around. You pick the delivery time and they'll send you updates every step of the way. Their knowledgeable customer care team is there when you need them to make sure your experience is smooth and stress-free. I have to tell you, their care team have been so helpful over the years. Anytime we've needed them, they truly are amazing. Article is offering our listeners $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more. To claim, visit article.com/momdad and the discount will automatically be applied at checkout. That's article.com/momdad for $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more. Okay, so let us dive in to the, I believe, fifth episode of Jen's Bachelorette season. So we were left on a cliffhanger last week where we saw that one of Jen's exes, not the toxic one, just to confirm, but one of her exes, a brief ex, I think they dated for like 3 months, numerous years ago, shows up to Auckland and is like, put me in, coach. I want to fight for your love. He's like, I'm in love with you. This was like my final chance. She's confused because she's like, why now? All of us are saying here for the wrong reasons.
Sure.
I will say I saw on, it was Batch Nation Scoop, I don't know if it was a TikTok or a reel that he made that was basically like a video vlog of him going from the wedding in Colombia to Auckland. He says in the video vlog, he's like, I paid for this. I'm paying for my tickets. And they're really hammering home because Jesse Palmer brings it up later. They're like, this man paid, just FYI.
Use points, by the way, 100% points.
But he's vlogging this coming here, and I've seen other things since where
nothing says here for the right reasons than a vlog
than
on your way.
A full vlog. I'm like, listen, you know, we love a vlog later. If let's just say they work out and it's like, oh my God, look at this vlog from when I came and declared my love to you. But to post a vlog knowing that the next week you were getting cut from the show is
here's my thing.
Here's the vlog.
My thing with the whole here for the right reasons thing, I'm very supportive of people going on this show being like, maybe I'll find love. Maybe I'll get some notice for it. Maybe it'll be a jumper in my career. Maybe we'll do all this thing. I mean, I don't know this person, right? So it's like, maybe it'll just be a fun experience. Like, I'm totally cool with being like surprised falling in love. I'm totally cool with all that. To interject, come out of nowhere with the like, you know, knight in shining armor thing, that's when you can't be there for the wrong reasons. You know, when it's like, I'm going to interrupt the whole thing and I'm going to save you from this process. And that is a very, you got to come for the right reasons. And he screamed not, and the vlog seals the deal.
You know what he was really giving me? So if we look at the timeline and we're like, okay, they dated for a few months years ago. It didn't work out. They recently started hanging out again, Evan. Recently.
Right.
What he's giving me is that she got cast for The Bachelor And all of a sudden it's like, want to hang out? And then he's going out and hanging out with Jen, and she's getting recognized everywhere, getting in places, fun events, and he's the plus one, and he's living for the attention. So many women coming up to her being like, oh my God, Jen, love you. And then she becomes the bachelorette. He's living for the attention. That's what it screams to me. And then all of a sudden she goes off to be the bachelorette, and it's like, oh my God, I might lose this glory,
my channel to attention.
Yes,
my channel to getting reservations at restaurants that are hard to get.
Correct.
Absolutely.
And so that's what it gives me. When she was like, "Yeah, we've recently started hanging out again," I'm like, "I would love to know when he popped back into your life again."
Yeah, like he bailed on you when you needed him, and then he just all of a sudden is like, "I miss you so much since you've been on that show."
Because I've heard he's got like a pretty active TikTok and social media presence, and I'm like, "Mm-hmm." And there's been like little moments where people have posted that they ran into him, and he's, you know, very much like, you know. What was
she wanted me, but I said no.
There was a video where there was a woman at like a club or something, and she's like, I ran into Jen's ex, and he's like, you know what they say, if he wanted to, he would, and if he wants to, he'll go and get it, or something like that.
Something like it's mine to lose type of thing.
You're like, oh no.
Well, that reaction, I mean, just to like note on the her reaction again, and kind of, you know, they showed it this episode again, which is like her reacting to him confessing the love.
Yeah.
It was almost like the fact that they dated seemed insane. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
Like it wasn't like, it was like your friend's brother being like, I love you. And you're like, Kevin?
Yeah.
Oh, that's sweetheart. See, like he I was like, she, the whole time she was like, what?
Matthew.
What do you, like almost laughing it off. Like, stop it, silly.
But, you know, okay, so I thought last week, I was like, I think maybe she's into it, because the way that she was like, Matthew, was reminding me of how she can be with Sam M. But this is where I think the kicker lies. We find out Jen is then talking to Jesse Palmer before the cocktail party.
Yeah.
And she tells him, because all of a sudden Matthew is like, I love you, right?
Right.
She said, no one has ever told me they were in love with me before. Which is a wild fact that we hadn't heard about. Considering she's the bachelorette, I would think they would be leading with this, just like how Sam N led as love virgin.
Well, it's debatable whether they're both love virgins. Now, they are on the opposite ends
it's
of the
love
virginity.
It's a different type of love virginity. Sure.
But technically, you could say both of them are love virgins.
I mean, maybe. I miss you, Sam N, so
much. I like
so
the
much.
Idea of her being like, me too.
Yeah,
like,
I miss you so much,
it.
Sam.
She's like, no, the opposite edge.
But like, think about, well, now she's not, because
now
Matthew said,
happened.
I love you. But that kind of really bugged me, because I'm like, she's never had.
She wasted. Okay, it was wasted.
First and foremost, the fact that she has been in numerous, what it seems like long-term relationships, and these serious relationships, these men haven't told her that they love her before. I'm going to hunt you men down. Okay. Because Jen is so deserving. And that just like really pisses me off.
That
is
wild.
It's just wild. But then that she's never had that experience. And then Matthew runs in
and throws it around.
And
like,
is the first person
you,
to say it. It kind of bugged
me.
Oh
no, that would be brutal.
It bugged me. And I think at least the way that I then kind of gathered it is, I was like, man, if I was in Jen's shoes, and I do have a connection with this person because we are friends, we were going to go to this wedding together, we hang out, and all of a sudden out of nowhere, he says, I love you. I would be thrown off, and I'd be like, maybe I'm missing something. Mm. Like, maybe this is the friend who becomes the love of my life. Like, that would throw me off. That's a big thing to say to
it's
somebody.
It's kind of like when something's that big and it's also so big to you that it's like it'll mess your brain up. As opposed to if you've been in a lot of relationships where love has been thrown around, you're like, get out of here.
It
with
would
that.
Throw me off. It's
just enough. It's just the right word in her case to make her not toss him out immediately.
Totally.
To make you go, wait a second.
So when all the guys were getting all humpy about it, all the other men, they were getting all pissy. I was thinking from her perspective, I'm like, oh my gosh, like, y'all, this is what just happened, and this is like a big moment.
Yeah,
I don't know.
It's interesting. Yeah, no, I mean, I can't relate, obviously, because we told each other we love her really, you know, early on, so I didn't have the like,
yeah, you
oh,
told
now
me that you loved
yeah,
me
shush,
before,
shush, 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 shush.
Before we even started dating. Yeah. Before you made me your girlfriend. Well, actually, it was the day you made me your girlfriend. You said I love you.
You guys,
or you
I have
requested.
A hockey injury. Okay, it's very bad, and I don't need this. Okay.
You're romantic.
I am. But we got to talk about the reaction. I mean, it was amazing.
Okay. So
Because it was, well, I also, more than anything, I think it was a, it really showed everyone's cards and it really backed up kind of the assumptions we had and then also maybe surprised us.
It was a litmus test of sorts for me like as a viewer.
Test.
Yes. Yeah. Because Jen then comes in and she tells the guys, she's like, okay, here's the deal. My ex showed up and he's like confessing his love for me and he wants to join this process and he's going to come tonight because I need to talk to him.
Yeah.
And there are a few factors to this that I was after watching that I was taking into consideration. I'm like, okay, I do understand the men who haven't gotten any time feeling like bummed and frustrated.
Yes.
But again, you don't need to talk about it. Just keep it to yourself.
Exactly.
Okay. Number two, I wonder if she did tell the men and we didn't see it, or maybe I missed it, that confirmed this wasn't the toxic ex. Because if she didn't say that, there definitely is a potential that a lot
That's
of these
true.
Men have heard about this toxic guy and are like, he's coming.
Right.
So I do have to put that out there.
But
now,
that
I don't think that that was why they had the reaction
that, also,
that they
had. No one brought that up, I don't think, did they?
True.
No one was like, wait, she's bringing this bad piece of shit back into our life. You know
because
what I mean?
He sounds horrible.
Right. So that, that seemed to be not...
I don't think so, but I just wanted to throw out those potential.
Yeah. Sure,
you know.
Like, but that would have been different. They would have been a lot more pissed off about the fact that like she's going to be taken advantage of and that she's going to be mistreated instead of we're losing our advantage,
they
as
were
they like
saying,
to say.
It's not, he has an unfair advantage. They kept saying, this guy coming in knows her way better. He has an unfair advantage.
Because like he knows her better than we do.
And I'm like, men, you're on camera. And I know that, you know, we could say that this is a show, it's a game, but at the end of the day, you're going to act like you care about Jen's feelings, but what you're going to throw around is he has an unfair advantage.
Because this
makes
is all a game.
Makes it seem like a game.
Because they're, you know, they're like, they're young in their hockey,
hockey
you know,
references.
Their hockey excitement. It's all, you know, they're into, like, they're Googling, you know, how to get better at hockey right now. Here's my thing.
I don't know how that corresponded.
Don't worry about it. My thing is, I think it was more interesting in the surprises, like Austin's.
Yes.
Like reaction.
He
being
was like, this
like
is
one
whack.
Of the
it's
most
whack.
Vocal.
Yeah.
Now,
well,
it makes
clearly,
sense in the way that like he knew he was on the outs. He knew that he didn't have a footing. He knew that like he was basically losing heavily. So it was like a way, well, that's going to kill me off so fast if he stays.
He knew that it was his final round if this guy was going to stay.
But I think the most shocking to me was Devin.
Okay, family. We all knew that Sam M.
We knew Sam M.
wasn't going to react well to it, okay? But Devin literally
yes,
reacted in a way that was so out of pocket.
Yeah.
And he was just like, I'm leaving
right
if Matthew shows up.
Yeah,
he's like, I'm taking this rose that I already have. So he's one of the three guys who's secured for next week, and he's basically throwing the rose out the window. And that showed me
it was a look into the wait a second.
And that was such big red flag energy to me. I'm like, okay. Throughout this whole process, I've said a million times, I'm like, I feel like Devin is so entertaining to watch. I feel like he's playing this game really well, but I'm not like a Devin fan.
Sure.
That kind of solidified how I felt. I was like, I'm not into it. Okay. You're the one who's actually spent like by a mile the most amount of time with her and seem to know her the most. And your immediate reaction is not one of like, I'd like to learn more, or I'm bummed out, but like, let's talk to Jen about it. It's like, I'm leaving. So you go from saying that you are last week you had a one-on-one date, or no, it was the same week. Oh my gosh. So literally like a day ago, Devin had a one-on-one date where he said he's falling so hard, it's going to make this thing tough. And you're willing to just like throw in the towel that quickly after such a powerful date to you.
Well, it's interesting. I do think that, like we talked about, it's like, should Sam M and Devin kiss? It's like,
I
don't think they're that different. They're just different delivery systems.
I think you 100% nailed it.
So it's like Devin is smooth talking, sweeter. Sam M's a little more of a blunt force object. He's a little bit more. No. What I'm saying is both big egos.
Yes. I was just going to say, like, I don't know if Devin hits me as the sweeter one, but but is more vulnerable one. And Sam M is more like player energy.
I mean, sweeter as in the way he's presenting. Like he's sweeter. He's more charming. He's more whatever. But I think
turned on all of them. Except
I think what we're seeing though is the ego, because then we see Jeremy and Grant have really good responses, basically saying if he's here, there's a reason. Mm-hmm. And that we need to respect that, basically, and it sucks, but it's the reality, and you know, all is fair in love, versus the other two guys that are like, I that's mean.
Yeah.
And so it was really interesting. I think it was kind of a look into Grant and Jeremy not really playing a game as much as the Sam M and Devin face off rival energy. Yeah. That we're like going, wait a second, I have a really good foothold and this guy might mess up my foothold, versus like, what does Jen want? There wasn't a lot of what does Jen want.
1,000%. And I think you're totally right. I think like Sam and Devin are kind of just same, same. Different person, same, same.
I mean, yeah.
Because I even noticed like when Sam M, and we can talk about it in a minute, but when Sam M sees Matt and has to have the last word, they always talk about how Devin won't stop talking. Sam M won't stop talking either. He always has to be the deliverer of the news, of like speaking for the group. They are the same.
It's two sons of a billionaire fighting for the empire.
Correct.
Completely different energy.
What a show. You know what like, I mean? It gives a sitcom, it's a dramatic
Roman
sitcom.
Emperor has two sons. Yes, yes. And they're very, one's a warrior.
Yep.
And one's one like is the politician.
Yep. Yeah. Oh
and
my God.
It's the same goal.
Yep.
Completely different approaches.
I think you absolutely nailed it.
You know what I mean?
Because also, too.
And it's a fight for Rome, the heart of Rome,
the heart of Jen. But I think you're totally right.
Yeah.
And what I noticed, too, obviously, was this episode. We start off this episode and the men are okay.
Yeah.
And even when Devin ends up getting that date, the little one-on-one time during the group date, we thought the reaction was going to be massive.
Yeah.
They're not, unless we're not seeing it and they're focusing on something else, it seems like Devin and Sam are not at each other's throats so much anymore.
Yeah.
So you wonder, have they realized? Have they become friends? Because they seem like they were kind of nodding along with each other now. Will they join forces and become an evil duo? Is
and
the question.
And later,
yeah.
During the ranch date, when Devin stole Jen and wasn't working, Sam M's response was one of the lesser. Like he normally would have been the leader of the hate him pack.
And he even said he's a farmer, so you'd think he would have gotten real.
But the other guys were far more angry. So maybe there was a little kiss. Maybe there was a little moment where they kind of made up or just kind of cool with each other.
Yeah.
Maybe they realized they both liked something, like they're both big golfers or something, and they started nerding out about it. And they're like, you're not so bad after all.
Or maybe they've discussed that like, hey, what's paradise going to look like? They're going to put us on paradise. And like you and I, they're going to try to make us enemies, but maybe you and I could pull more if we're a team.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just saying, it's starting to smell of something.
I think you're right.
In a reunion, obviously, but
yeah, that's true. Now I will say, with the men tell all, they might
juice it up.
They might start. Their egos might get too big, and they're like, no, I gotta speak.
We were
my
cool,
piece.
But you're not even that good at golf.
I could
and then it's off. Yeah,
I could see got it. Happening. But I do want to mention Devin's moment with Grant, who is. He has to be the love
it's
of Jen's life. If it's
become...
not Grant, okay, we'll talk about that in a moment. But we got to take another quick pause. Oh, family, I want to talk with you all about something incredible and honestly something that's probably on all of our minds if you have kiddos. School is starting very soon for most. And of course, we all want to set our kids up for success. Part of that means making sure they are receiving the best education. And I want to put an emphasis on this, an education that's right for them and their needs, because each child and family is different. I highly, highly recommend checking out K-12 powered schools. We recently discovered them and were thrilled to find out that this is an option. We did not know this is an option and it's incredible. K-12 powered schools can help your child start reaching their full potential in life now with online education options tailored to their unique needs, interests, and schedules. And there's still time to get started this year, okay? So K-12 powered schools are tuition free, online accredited public schools for kindergarten through 12th grade.
Yeah, this is not your typical homeschooling where parents are responsible for teaching their children. K-12 powered schools have state certified teachers trained in online education with an online portal that gives parents daily insights into curriculum and performance. And K-12's hands-on, innovative technology makes learning interactive and engaging, helping your child gain skills, experience, and certification all before graduating high school while giving you the support you need to get them there.
Yes, K-12 has online education options for every type of student, and it could be perfect for your child too. I was so excited to learn about K-12 powered schools because, like I said before, obviously, all kids are different and all families are different, and K-12 powered schools provide options for that fact. Like for a family who's off the grid or traveling constantly, or for a child who learns in a specific way and feels better at home. For so many reasons, K-12 powered schools are an incredible option. Help your child gain the skills they need to thrive in the future with K-12. And there's still time to get started for the fall. Go to k12.com/momdad today to learn more and find a tuition-free K-12 powered school near you. That's the letter K, the number 12.com/momdad, k12.com/momdad. Okay, so I wanted to address the Devin Grant conversation because it was just another reason Grant has not missed this entire season. Okay. Yeah. There has been so much drama, so many confrontations, and Grant is always the person in the house who's willing to have the discussions with the men, but is always just so compassionate and level-headed and wise in the situations. And so he's talking alone with Devin. Devin's fuming, and Grant's the one who's like, okay, we need to hold up and let this be what's right for Jen. Okay. Devin, you've been the one preaching from the rooftops about how everyone else is concerned about their own selves and not about Jen. And that's what you're doing right now.
I think there's like it's like tall guy energy. You know what I mean? It's kind of like, well, I mean, I don't it's know. Tall guy. There's kind of this like, it's going to be okay. And all the little guys are fighting and he's looking down going, you guys keep fighting. No worries.
I don't know about that. I've met some tall men who do not have that energy.
I'm not saying all tall guys. I'm just saying the fact that he's super tall makes sense. You know what I'm saying? I don't know what it is. It's just like it's like built into his energy, which is just kind of like, let's just relax here.
I literally could end this show right now. I'm like, Jen, I mean, who else? Who else in this cast are you interested in leaving with other than Grant? If I was Jen, I'd be like, it would be so hard for me not to be like so obvious that Grant is the one I'm going to like want to be with in the end. But Devin then goes back to the group after this conversation and declares to all of them that if Matt shows up, he's leaving, which I was like, big mistake,
Wild Devin, move.
Because let's just say our theory is wrong and Sam M and him are not friends now. This could be a move that Sam M has to bring up, well, Devin was about to ditch.
Oh my gosh. Anyone could bring it up.
Yeah.
Anyone could bring that. I mean, that is absolute ammo.
It's,
I mean, that
100%.
Is
100%. I don't know if I see anyone else bringing it up except Sam.
But, you know, he was rubbing everyone wrong on that date. So it's like it starts getting more serious and more tense. I could totally see them going, dude, he was threatening to leave you.
True. And I guess at that point, they hadn't had the rose ceremony yet, and Thomas was still a player. And Thomas definitely would have told Jen that Devin was ready to leave.
Yeah, you know, like, hey, what I thought? Yeah, 100%.
But Jen and Matt end up sitting down, and he's just like, you know, it was now or never, and we've done a lot of growing up since we were dating, and da-da-da-da-da, you know, I guess in these past 3 years, we've done tons of growing up. But she says no.
Yeah, she says
she shuts it down. And I love how they have him come in alone and say hello to the men
and apologize.
You know what? I do have to say to his credit,
I appreciated that.
To his credit, as much as I think he might be there or is very likely there for the wrong reasons, I appreciated the fact that he came in and he was like, I really apologize. Sorry for putting you all in this situation.
Because all he had to do was just have that moment with her and then leave. And then it was like it never existed to him. But the fact that he came in and apologized.
Yeah, they probably were like, you have to go in. But he didn't
have to. They didn't put the tux on for no reason. You know what I mean?
That's very true. The velvet bow tie was not there for no reason.
Everyone else is like, you know, in slacks and he's just in his tux. But to take away from this moment, I have to say, Sam M's response was by far incredible and amazing because he is the king of, I'm going to yell at you about how much you don't bother me, which is the sign of you bother me so much. And my favorite thing was that he goes, can I, so the guy graciously apologizes. It like, these guys don't know him.
They don't know him at all.
And the first interaction they have is him coming up going, I'm very sorry for doing this. I just want to let you know she chose to move on. I wish her the best. I think that you guys are probably an amazing group of guys. And I think she's got to find her. Like she was, he was very, could very not have gracious. Been more non-offensive in the way that he did it.
100%.
And my favorite thing is Sam M taking this moment to think, because he wants to be like Devin. In the way that he wants the silver tongue. Mm-hmm. He wants the ability to kind of say, because that's the thing that Devin's amazing at. He's amazing at off the cuff saying something great. Mm-hmm. And he really wants to be able to go, guys. And I could tell he was launching into it with a lot of confidence. He was going to say something really good that kind of made him feel like he supported the guys. But instead, what came out was like, after the guy apologized, him going, yeah, like... You, I'm glad you're leaving because, like, you should stay in the past, my guy.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, and he's like, yeah, I know. This is literally what I apologize for.
And you see that these are good dudes, okay? So it's a good thing that you stayed in the past, boy. I think he said, my boy.
Yeah, my guy or my boy.
He said, my boy.
Yeah, yeah. And it's like, yeah, you know, I just apologize instead of leaving. Yeah. It's not like I'm fighting to stay. It's almost like he had the statement ready. For him to, when he was going to stay.
Yeah.
So, it's
so
like,
he had to just kind of rework it.
He had the statement of like, you know what? You're a piece of shit. You should stay in the past, my boy. But the guy apologized. So then he's kind of like going, how do I adjust this to make sense? And it's too late. It's already out of my mouth. And it was the most useless, but like I'm trying to be
but
an
also
alpha
like
move
super
ever.
Rude.
And also super rude for the like just
a guy who's being like just an ex who's being gracious in his conversation with you all.
It's almost like if someone said, I'm so sorry, I'm an idiot. I apologize. And then you go, yeah, you are an idiot. You need to apologize. I mean, you should apologize. I mean, you're an idiot
good
too.
Good thing you did apologize.
Yeah, it's just like it was so bad. I don't know. It made me laugh.
Also, it makes me laugh that. You know, his tagline is I keep the main thing. But I would like to say, let's start a tally with how many times Sam says, I won't speak for the group, but he does it 4 times an episode. I need to go back and play like a fun shot game with it because every episode he does it multiple times. I don't want to speak for the group, but and makes the full declaration.
I'm not gossiping, but they are the worst. You know what I mean? It's the total. I'm going to do the thing. I'm not trying to be offensive, but you know, it's like,
but.
I'm going to do the thing I'm saying I'm not going to do. And it's like, he is the king of that.
The king. Well, Matt's gone.
Yeah.
And then we have the rose ceremony. At this point we have, well, I guess Devin decides to stay because Matt leaves. So he doesn't he doesn't have to cut the rose off his lapel.
And he definitely and wouldn't leave. Have left if he would have stayed.
Of course he wouldn't have. But, the people who already have roses are Sam M, Marcus, and Devin. The first rose goes to Grant, Jeremy, Jonathan, Spencer, Dylan, Austin. And then leaving, we have John and Thomas N. I want to say, bummed out about John, another guy we didn't get to know who actually seemed like one of the really good guys in this group. He had a great response. I mean, in numerous situations, I felt like he handled things well when we have little moments of him. And then when Matt showed up, he was one of the few who was like, you know what? I don't love it, but we got to, this is Jen's story and we got to, you know, respect that. But yeah, Thomas also leaves. Thomas and Sam embrace and Sam forgets about him immediately.
Oh my gosh. I mean, this was the classic, you know, guy becomes friends with jock at high school camp. Think they have something. Jock never responds to a single thing.
I told you the second that Thomas left, I said that man got his phone back.
Yes.
And the first thing he did was follow Sam on Instagram and sent him a DM. And I believe that DM is still unopened. And
oh,
Sam
it's
just
dude, watch party. Like right now it's happening. Watch party this weekend. No response.
It makes me feel sad.
And then
for
he
Thomas.
Sees Sam post at a watch party. You know, so he's having to tell himself. He just didn't see it. It's just no big deal.
So sad for Thomas. I am actually very curious about that when it comes to the men tell all, what their dynamic will be. Mm-hmm. It'll be a lot of like Thomas being so excited to be with Sam again and Sam using this as his moment to try to get into the hearts of all the ladies.
Yeah, my favorite would be if Devin and Sam become besties and then like Thomas is like, can I hang? And they're like, you're kind of weird.
Oh my God. If that's Devin and ultimate. Sam become besties, that actually like makes my heart hurt for Thomas because Thomas is like, Sam, I protected you for so many weeks against the atrocities of Devin. And now you're best friends with our enemy. Like that actually makes me feel really sad. It's a classic
high school movie in the 90s. You know,
this scenario is actually like really depressing me for Thomas. It's like, you know, it's changing how I feel about Thomas because I feel really bad.
Yes.
But they leave and Austin cheers. He's like, to guys in your future better than past. And I'm like, every man here just needs to like take a breath, except for the few that respected the situation.
Yes.
All these guys here, what we have seen this entire season so far are these men in a pissing contest 24/7. It's like, so a guy came from the past. I get it. It would have sucked. It's especially for someone like Austin, who was in a situation where he barely has gotten time with Jen. But to make a ex from the past, who actually is very gracious to you all, a villain, it's just such a pissing contest energy where it's like, everybody calm down. Okay, it didn't end up happening. Take a deep breath.
It's just very insecure. It's just very insecure behavior to be like, I can't have any competition.
It just screams it.
Yeah.
Just screams
it. It's very immature.
Well, then we have the next day where we see Jesse Palmer again sitting with Jen and having a little morning breakfast together.
Yeah.
What is happening? What, all of a sudden we see no Jesse Palmer. And then these past two episodes, he's there constantly.
Yes.
And he's having like a moment with her, eating, going over things, having like, you know, a cute little chat beforehand. I mean, I love it.
Sure.
But I'm also like, what, why the change?
Yeah. I think he's trying to kind of, maybe he's doing a layup for a new show he's doing or something where he's trying to show the more relatable side, the down to earth side. One thing
more
I want to
interviewer type energy.
Yeah, he's trying to show maybe he's launching a coffee brand.
Okay, well, Evan, we hear him say, I don't know if you know this, Jen, but the coffee culture here in Auckland is amazing. They take it very seriously. Very random thing for us to hear.
Yeah, it's like I was ready for a Chick-fil-A or what was the KFC?
Yes.
I was ready for an ad.
Sure. But it was just,
and you know what I got to say is this Auckland coffee brought to you by blah, blah, blah is absolutely, I was ready for something. And she goes, you're right. This is my favorite.
But it was just a statement that they left.
It was just like, I like coffee.
And so what it is telling me is that I think Jesse Palmer will be launching a brand soon. And what because now we're finding, you know, the man has more hobbies than we knew.
He's a hobby king.
He's a hobby king. Like you guys probably would really get along.
Honestly.
And I am hoping with the discovery of his coffee hobby unlocked for the viewers, that he launches a coffee brand, but he combines his passions and he calls it Bigfoot Coffee.
Ooh. To be honest with you,
Jesse Palmer, even though you're being funny, take it.
Like that's not bad. Like just Bigfoot Coffee sounds awesome.
You could have such fun branding with it, right?
Yes. Bigfoot Coffee sounds really cool.
And you put your two passions together, JP. So maybe this is what's cooking. Maybe that's what JP's cooking up. All of a sudden he's like, I need to make more appearances because I'm about to launch this big Bigfoot Coffee brand. Yes. So you need to see my face more. So, you know, I'm in your mind's eye.
Right. Okay, I wanted to make one quick thing to chat. Hey, chat. to our family, I am, maybe this is ignorant. Maybe this is judgmental. Maybe this is, but can some, like, listen, live in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
A lot of great coffee.
Yeah.
Right? Great coffee shops.
Oh, you're about to get some people upset right now.
Can someone explain to me what's going on with coffee? Like, my thing is this, like, I love coffee. I drink it every morning. Sometimes I have bougie coffee. Sometimes I have gas station coffee.
4 to 5 cups a day.
Coffee is a tool. Oh, God. Okay. It's a tool. Coffee. And so sometimes tools can be nicer than other tools, right? Mm-hmm. You can go to the Home Depot and buy yourself like a really expensive drill.
Yeah.
Or a cheaper drill. Mm-hmm. And so one might work a little better and you might be like, I like this drill more. But at the end of the day, it has a job to do, which is to wake your ass up. People wait in line for coffee.
Yeah.
Special coffee.
Special coffee.
And I'll drink that special coffee sometimes. Yeah. And I'm like, it's like all the other special coffee.
You can't taste the difference?
I mean, a little bit. But again, it's not even like booze where it's like, now I got a buzz and I'm having fun. It's like, it's just what you drink on the way to work. So can someone explain to me why, like, what about coffee is so incredibly, I gotta try this coffee place. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I know this is ignorant. I have friends who are very cool and they're very cultured. And they're like, oh, I'm in Paris and I'm trying this very specialized coffee place. But no matter what bougie coffee I have, and it tastes a little better, I'm still just kind of like, it's great. But it's like, dude, I gotta go try this coffee shop when it's beans on water. Like, can someone explain this to me?
I do feel like it.
So in the comments, DMs, please explain to me what I'm missing. Maybe you had a revelation. Maybe you had a transformational moment mm-hmm. where you woke up, you were a bean water guy like me. And then you woke up and realized your ignorance, the error of your ways mm-hmm. that made you fall in love with coffee in a different ways. Show me. I'm open, but I'm skeptical.
I just think that if anything, this is more of just like a look into your psychology that you view coffee as a tool.
Coffee is a rather tool.
Rather than like a delicious treat. Like coffee is like to be enjoyed when it hits you in the morning and it's warm and it just kind of, it sets the pace for your day, or when you're sitting with people and enjoying conversation and you're having like a communal coffee together, you look at it as a tool.
A delicious tool.
But I'm just saying.
So like a cappuccino would be me having fun. You know what I'm saying? Black coffee is a tool. And the reason why you know this is the case is because if it wasn't a tool, everyone would be drinking decaf. But no one does that. I want to go to Blue Bottle, right? One of these bougie spots. And I want to ask them, how many people order decaf? And it's got to be 0.05%.
Your wife does.
Exactly. But that's just because you are trying to chill out on the caffeine and you still have the taste and kind of like the ceremony of it. But it's at that point, it's non-alcoholic beer. You're like, oh, I'm trying not to drink. So I'm going to have this non-alcoholic beer, but I'm just so I can kind of feel like I'm doing a thing.
Yeah.
Right. But no one. So anyway, that's just a side note. All you right, can well, cut it if you want. But I really want to know. I just really want to know. Help me because I want to fall in love like everyone else is.
Yeah.
But it's just not that big of a deal to me.
I feel like if anything, this is more of like a therapy conversation as to why like you view something that's pleasurable as a tool versus, you know, enjoyment.
Got it.
That's just my, you know, I mean, that's just my thought.
Sure.
I don't know.
Sure.
Don't
that's know. Not much romance in
but
that.
But you love, well, you know, you do love tools, not literal tools, but you are kind of a tool. You are a practical guy.
Oh.
So you like a tool. Right.
You I like enjoy things a tool, that like, I'm not like,
but you, you know, I'm saying you like things that are like, it's like a ladder to get you somewhere. You're a practical guy.
Sure.
You're a type of guy who it's all about like, how fast can I get there? Not enjoying the ride.
Hey, I'm not that bad. Okay. I'm not that bad at all. That you're overstating. You're overstating that. I can be a romantic big time. How you doing? But what I'm saying is the coffee thing specifically. When someone's like, oh, we got to go try. I'm like, dude, we're not going to go out of the way to try coffee. That's crazy to me. Anyway, continue.
All right. Well, we got to take another quick pause.
Yeah, sorry about that, guys. Just kind of.
No, you're bringing up the important conversation.
This is important stuff.
I appreciate that
about
you.
I honestly think that I want to know the truth, too. I want to know, are people that into it or is it like a peer pressure thing?
Oh,
where
okay,
it's like
wow.
If you're eating Dunkin' Donuts coffee, do you feel judged? And so you're getting into it as a social thing because everyone else is into it. But at the end of the day, left to your own devices, are you truly that into it?
Okay, family. So speaking of drinking things, we see people on this show, you know, they're always enjoying a glass of wine, a glass of champagne, and it does get you thinking. I know that we've all tried ways to feel good after a night of drinks, okay? But guess what? I found something that actually works. It actually works. It's a pre-alcohol probiotic from the brand ZBiotics. Truth of the matter is, I am 35 and I do not bounce back the next day like I used to after a night of drinking, okay? But I want to have a great day the next day and get done what I need to get done, which is why I am so grateful for ZBiotics pre-alcohol. When I first heard about it, to be frank, I was pretty skeptical, but I have now used this numerous times, and I have to tell you, when I wake up the next morning, I feel the difference, okay? After using it, every time I wake up the next morning, I'm ready to take on the day. In fact, the other day, I took it before a night out with the girlies, and the next day, I happily took my calls, I podcasted, I edited, and I felt great.
So their probiotic was invented by PhD scientists to tackle rough mornings after drinking. Here's how it works. When you drink, alcohol gets converted into a toxic byproduct in the gut. It's this byproduct, not dehydration, which is what I thought, that's to blame for a rough next day. Pre-alcohol produces an enzyme to break that byproduct down. This is a proactive solution that wards off feeling miserable the next day instead of a reactive approach like drinking electrolytes or eating greasy food.
Take your Z-Biotics pre-alcohol beforehand. Make it the first drink of the night, then drink responsibly and enjoy tomorrow. Wake up feeling refreshed and ready to take on the day. Join the movement of empowered people choosing Z-Biotics for fresher and more productive mornings. Enhance your mornings with Z-Biotics. Go to zbiotics.com/momdad to get 15% off your first order when you use code MOMDAD at checkout. Z-Biotics is backed with 100% money back guarantee, so if you're unsatisfied for any reason, they'll refund your money, no questions asked. Remember to head to zbiotics.com/momdad and use the code MOMDAD at checkout for 15% off. Thank you, ZBiotics, for sponsoring this episode and our good times. Wow, it has been so unbelievably helpful. Very grateful for ZBiotics. Okay, let's get into these dates. Yeah. We lingered on the ex for a while. But the first one-on-one date is given to Jonathan. Another helicopter ride, Evan.
Yeah.
We just had a helicopter ride with Spencer. I know, granted, Jonathan's was to a different location, sure, and then that was beautiful in the vineyard and everything. But I'm like, are they going to give Jen 1 week where she doesn't have to deal with the exposure therapy of her biggest fear? I mean, but honestly, by the time this season's done, she's going to have no more fear of heights anymore.
Does that work?
Well, exposure therapy can be useful in different ways.
Different
yes.
ways. Because, yeah. I mean, no for matter how many times I go on heights, it's still terrifying to me. It,
yeah.
I notice no difference. If anything, the older I get, the scarier it is.
Yeah, true.
You know, yeah, I think that they're kind of, I think it was a 2-for-1 thing. I think they called the company and they said, we need a helicopter. And they're like, we're doing a 2-for-1 special. And so they're like, cool, we'll use it for another date as well.
Yeah, yeah. Just every episode we're going to have a
helicopter. Because they definitely have recycled this concept a lot, which is like take the helicopter to a romantic place.
Sure. It's just more like when your lead is terrified of heights and every single date, it's like, are we going to give Jen one date where she just gets to live in the lap of luxury,
yes,
on the ground,
yes,
for a few hours?
Here's my question about this. Speaking, I just want your take.
Okay.
Jonathan is scared of heights.
Correct.
And he's like, my worst fear is getting in a helicopter.
Correct.
Do you want honesty there? Or do you want him to fake it?
Okay. I personally love when I can commiserate with someone over shared fears. As a fearful, anxious person, you know this. When all of a sudden I find out that you're anxious about something or fearful about something that I'm also fearful about, I live. I'm like, oh,
yes,
my God,
I understand.
I'm so happy. I feel it makes me feel better because I feel seen and we can do it together. We can conquer our fear together.
But when it's a physical thing like that.
What do you mean?
Well, like a physical, like as in your body is a part of this, you know, like jumping off a cliff or skydiving or what's a physical, yeah, action. Do you not have the feeling like one of us has to be in control?
No, I love when we can commiserate.
Interesting.
Because then we can do it together.
Okay.
And then it also gives me an opportunity as a fearful person to step into a confident place.
Oh, like because you then, might be able to take care of me.
Yeah, because then I have the opportunity to be like, okay. Because we saw Jen do that. All of a sudden,
sure,
she was like not seeming like she was scared of heights. She was like, it's okay, we're good. And it got to give her like an empowering moment where she's like, you know what? I've had a hand at heights for the past couple episodes.
Right.
And now I feel a little more comfortable and I get to be the one comforting this individual.
Got it. Okay, cool.
It makes me feel less anxious sometimes when I get that moment where I'm like, okay, the other person next to me is also anxious. Yes. So I'm going to step into comforting and it can take away my anxiety sometimes.
Okay, I'll start faking fears that I don't have just to create that for you.
I tried to get Evan to do that with me the other day when I was like, Evan, please tell me you're scared of dying. Please. I was like begging you. And then you tried to, but you really aren't. So I then it just kind somehow, of, yeah. And I was just like, God, I feel so alone. But I appreciate you for trying to fake fears for me.
Well, here's the thing. We process things differently, and that's the beauty of our relationship. Okay.
And I
need
so,
you judging me for this.
And I so appreciate you, you know, always being there and being willing to attempt.
Little did I know, this whole time I thought being strong was what you wanted. Instead, you just want a partner in fear. Okay, cool. It's good to know. I'm going to experiment with it.
No,
this
I will say it's nice to have a combination.
I'll just go into the, I'm going to go into the ocean and act like I'm drowning and then make you come save me and
well,
be like, was that?
Please don't do that.
Okay, got it.
Yeah,
okay,
please
cool.
do that. But I think a combination is nice. Okay. You know, it's nice to have like
a vulnerability,
a partner like you who
what
I can
if you're
rely
fearless?
On.
What do I do?
If I'm fearless?
No, me. What
okay,
do you do?
Sam
what do you do if you're, what if you do if you don't concern yourself with lambs because you're a lion?
Oh, God, when Sam said that.
You know
the
what I mean?
The opinions of sheep.
So if I'm a lion, how can I be afraid of a sheep? Do I fake it? Anyway, we'll work on that later. Maybe that's a therapy thing.
Unbelievable. Well, they end up successfully getting to this beautiful, like, islandish area that has a vineyard. Jen immediately gets out of that helicopter and did one of my most favorite things ever. She did a cartwheel. And it was a very bad cartwheel.
Yeah, it was very funny because she kind of was like a little girl. She was like, this makes me want to do a cartwheel. And I was expecting a very athletic cartwheel.
Well, when someone is like, I'm going to do a cartwheel, they typically like crush a cartwheel, especially as an adult.
An adult, you don't mess. You don't play with shit like that.
No.
You don't play around. No. It'd be like if I was like, there's a pull-up bar.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, I want to do a couple of pull-ups. And I get like half of one.
And then you could
be like,
yeah.
You don't really jump up and do pull-ups
no,
unless
typically.
You know what you're doing
That's
in front
saying.
Of a group of people.
Not often does an adult be like, hey, I'm going to do this cartwheel. And they don't crush like a round off type
exactly.
thing.
Exactly.
It actually brought my heart.
It was very funny.
It brought my heart
and very playful.
So much joy.
Yeah.
Because I was like, she felt so excited that she just like was like, I'm going to do a cartwheel.
Yeah.
And then you were like, oh.
Yeah, that was bad. That was a really bad cartwheel. It was really funny because then he did one and it was better.
Yeah. He was like, okay. It actually made me really happy. And I'm like, you know what? I'm going to take that note.
It was very childish in like a very sweet way.
Like
where
a
like,
it was
have
pure.
To be good at everything. You can just have fun.
I know. It was a very pure moment. And it kind of inspired me. I'm like, you know what? Ember's always doing cartwheels, but I'm not often next to her doing them because I'm like, oh, my cartwheel is, first of all, I'm like, am I going to break my wrist?
Right, at this age,
having not done a cartwheel for forever. But when I have tried them, they're just terrible.
Right.
But I'm like, why don't I just let joy overtake me and do more cartwheels?
Why do you have to be good? Because we're afraid of what everyone thinks.
Exactly.
And maybe in that moment, she just, that was very, I don't know why it made us laugh so hard.
I loved it so much.
It was just so like innocent.
It was pure.
Makes me want to do a cartwheel. And then just like the worst cartwheel and you're like. That was hilarious. And it wasn't like she like popped back up and was like, I know that was so bad. It was just like, yep.
Nope. She just loved
having
it.
Having fun. That's
it
really
was
funny.
So beautiful. And you know what? That energy continued because these two then, she's like, let's play hide and go seek. And they're running through playing hide and go seek. They're playing catch with like grapes. And my initial reaction in this is I'm kind of like, I don't know. It was like, I'm thinking, you know, are you going to sit and have your like glasses of wine and, you know, be serious and do your wine tasting? And at first I was kind of like, what are you guys doing? And then again, it kind of hit me. I'm like, man, they're just kind of having fun.
Yeah.
And it was kind of beautiful that they just were free and being silly and playing hide and go seek and playing like catch in a vineyard.
Yeah.
I don't know. It was, I thought my initial reaction was like, this feels a little cringy.
Forced,
and then I'm like, you know what, Jessica, you are a cringe queen. This is beautiful, innocent fun.
You know what? You're absolutely right.
You know,
it's like pre-phone fun.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Totally.
Like, it's like, no one in their right mind would do that now.
No.
Because you'd be taking pictures. You'd be checking your Instagram. You'd be walking around having a glass of wine and talking maybe. But not playing hide and seek.
No.
In a place where there's nowhere to hide.
And think that's also true. You can see your feet around every corner.
Like,
there's
like,
nowhere.
It's open around. They're right there. That's some shit Ember would do, which is like the cutest thing ever. She would just be like, let's play hide and seek. I'm like, boo, we're on the beach. Like, there's nowhere to hide.
But it's pure.
It's pure. And I think that's, it's pure. It's childish. It's childish in the good way.
Mm-hmm.
It's childlike, I guess is what I'm trying to say. And they pulled it off.
They really did.
They pulled it off.
Now, Jonathan is concerned, though.
Yeah.
He's like, is this more friendship energy? Do we actually have like a deep emotional connection? And I got to tell you, when they got in that hot tub that shows up every single season, mm-hmm. that they have to fly it.
Yeah.
Because why? It's everywhere.
A specific one.
Like the amount, the cost to fly that hot tub. I mean, they could start an entire new franchise.
It's very, very heavy, very expensive.
Because it has to be the American water. Yeah, put a cap on it. So stupid. But when they got in the hot tub, I really respected that Jonathan right away told her he was concerned about that.
Yeah.
That gave me a deep breath about him. Mm-hmm. I'm like, the guy's willing to put himself in a situation, it feels very for the right reasons, to not be like toting a line and be like, yeah, no, I'm not scared about anything. You know, like we have such a great connection and da da da. The fact that he was like, you know, I'm nervous. Is this just friends?
Because he told her that.
That's what I'm saying.
Now, I'm going to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I wouldn't like that.
If
I was with a girl and she goes, I'm just trying to see if we have something more than friends, I immediately would be turned off.
I'm not saying that it's something that you would
I appreciate his honesty. I would have hated it, though. I would have been like, oh, that the fact that that's where like you're warring with right now, that you're trying to help me out of the friend zone, I 100% would be done. Like, it's too much.
I hear you. And yeah. I'm not saying that it would necessarily be well received. What I'm saying is I appreciate him being really honest. Because that's not something that you hear often, yes. Right? He was, that then showed me that I feel like he's a trustworthy person.
100%.
That he would be willing to put that out there.
I appreciated it.
Now, I will say he said that he's concerned that they're in the friend place because they haven't gotten emotionally deep yet. He didn't say anything about like their romantic chemistry.
Sure. Doesn't matter. I want the like, I'm very into you. Let's see if there's a friendship here. You know what I'm saying? I don't want the, you seem cool, but I don't know if there's anything romantic here. Destroy me. You know what I mean? I want it to start with the wow, and then let's see if there's something else. You know what I'm saying?
You're unbelievable.
I'm just being honest.
No, I hear you. I hear you.
If she was like, hey, buddy, maybe there's something else here, pal. I'd be like, ah, you know what I mean?
True. So that's true. As if I was in Jen's position,
yes.
Though that would maybe hit me a little weird.
Yeah.
Like I'd be a little in my head.
Sure.
I would be like green flag.
Sure.
For
no, it's green
a guy
flag.
Who's
it's green flag vibe.
Honest and straightforward.
Sure. Sure, just keep that to yourself for me.
Well, they do end up making it to the dinner portion. Mm-hmm. And again, continued transparency.
Yeah.
He opens up and he says that the reason he has a hard time opening up is that he was with a woman. They were like seriously dating for numerous years. They lived together for 2 years. And then she started going through a hard time where she essentially started self-medicating and became like an alcoholic, etc. And through that, she started to question his character, calling him abusive. And, you know, he was saying basically gaslighting mm-hmm. him when she was seemingly being verbally abusive to him. And he said it destroyed him. Mm-hmm. And he wanted to kind of grow up with this idea of a rom-com love and then, you know, thinking this was going to be it and then questioning himself.
Yeah.
Another very honest moment.
Yep.
Another very vulnerable mm-hmm. moment on his part. I mean, putting out the details of that and, just like pure vulnerability about something that is like very like hurtful and deep in a relationship.
Yeah, and the type of vulnerability too, or this early on in their relationship,
yeah.
that could be misunderstood.
Totally.
You know what I mean? You know, when you're kind of like just talking about something and yeah. the person doesn't have full context of whatever.
Yeah.
It's the type of vulnerability where you even saw her face. She was kind of like,
yeah, she was
like,
processing
whoa.
It.
You're like, what are we talking about? You know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So, which can go south.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes you can kind of say, you can just be talking. So, it's like, yeah, it was very intense in that way. It was like, he definitely basically knew he talked earlier about like wanting to see if they had that emotional connection. He definitely was like, here's everything.
He was a really great example to me of one of the few men, especially on this season, who is in a back and forth of like, okay, I really want to get there with you emotionally. I'm not going to just expect you to share everything with me.
Right.
Like, I'm going to put it all out there too. So I'm not going to just say, I hope we get there emotionally. Like,
kind of lead by example.
I'm going to really try, and I'm going to show you a really, like, you know, hurt part of my heart, a really vulnerable part of my heart. And here it is. And let's see how it goes.
Yes.
And it ended up, I think, being very good for their relationship, because then she was like, I've also experienced this in similar ways with my ex. He then talked about how he grew up with a single mom and how he felt like he always had to be the one to make sure everyone was okay.
Yeah.
She felt similar. And then she had a moment where she was like being fully like diving in with him. Like, do you think that's why you have a hard time opening up? Because you don't want to disappoint and make sure everyone's okay. They got deep.
Yeah.
In my opinion, after this episode, if it's not Grant and Jonathan in the top, I'm going to be very confused and disappointed.
Yeah.
It's interesting. I mean, obviously, I'm not Jen, and I'm not behind the scenes and seeing what's going on. But those two, to me, far and away, the most fun, charismatic, calm, willing to be vulnerable men on this season.
I completely agree. Did she say something about seeing if there was something with him?
I think she was feeling similar.
She was feeling similar.
Yeah,
right?
I think so.
Yeah. Okay. It'd be interesting. I don't know. I don't know if there's a, I don't know. I mean, I think they went deep with each other, but I don't know if there's like a major spark. It's kind of how I feel a little bit.
Okay.
It's kind of like, I think that he's like hot and sweet and cool and they get along. I'm just not seeing him being competitive with the other three or four.
The friend thing might linger and they might get deep and intimate, but it might be more of a friend energy.
I didn't see the emotional depth transfer into sexual chemistry.
Yeah.
Is more what I'm getting at.
Yeah. No, I hear you. Okay. We need to take one more quick pause. And then after, I do need to address the rain.
Oh,
situation.
Yes.
And also why I think Raingate, and also why I think Jonathan might be being set up to be our next bachelor.
That's what I'm feeling.
Okay. All right. Family, I don't know about you all, but I can be a creature of habit. Like, there are certain products I always reach for at the store just because it's become second nature to me. Like, I always get the same soap, the same sparkling water, the same trail mix. I love my trail mix. But sometimes we need change, especially when it comes to products that we can feel good about for our bodies. That's why a few years ago, I made the switch to Cora. These are period care products that are made with clean ingredients that I recognize and trust. And what's great is you can find Cora products wherever you shop, Target, Walmart, Amazon, or online at Cora.life. I love Cora products for many reasons, one of which is their cult favorite tampons made from 100% organic cotton. They have a compact BPA-free applicator, and they're made without chlorine, pesticides, fragrances, rayon, or dyes. Plus, they gently expand to absorb from all angles for worry-free leak protection. Listen, in the past with their other tampons, I was leaky, okay? It was always an issue. With Cora, I have been a leak-free queen, and I so appreciate that they're designed with different people's needs in mind. They allow me to find my best fit based on my size and flow for that month. The multi-pack is great to have on hand, and they're comfortable. Oh my gosh, they're comfortable. I also love Cora's pads and liners, their menstrual cup. They got something for everyone, so check them out. And by the way, another reason I love Cora is they give back with every purchase. They've donated over 24 million period products to date. It is time for a change. Make the switch to Cora like I did. Right now, our listeners will get a special 20% off, but only when you visit our exclusive URL, Cora.life/mom-dad, and use our promo code mom-dad. Such a good discount. That's Cora.life/mom-dad. Don't wait. Get 20% off with promo code mom-dad at Cora.life/mom-dad. Okay, we got to talk about paid actor, The Rain.
Yeah.
That rain was absolutely wild.
Hilarious.
It was so torrential. It was like, hey, I get that you guys have a rain machine in here to make it like a rom-com moment. But can we like turn the dial back a bit, because it is absolutely pouring.
Yeah, it was funny because we paused it, because we immediately were like, this looks like fake rain. We paused it. And if you guys go back and pause, you can see that the rain was only like 10 by 10.
Yeah, it was like a circle around them. Because
right outside of the area, everything was completely dry.
Yeah, the lights were still flickering. The candle lights were still going.
It was like just literally they were standing underneath a massive shower head.
And if I would have been Jen, I would have been so pissed. I'm like, hey, you know what? I get what you guys are trying to do. But like, you know what's more romantic is like it raining outside and us being by like a sexy fire with a glass of champagne. Mm-hmm. But you just absolutely dousing me like I walked into a shower while I'm trying to kiss
him. Yeah, it was not subtle at all. And the fake thunder...
And it was just me because I was on my fake eyelashes on. I'd be like, fuck, my eyelashes would be fallen off. They'd be halfway down my face. It would just have been a nightmare.
Like they would have to redo it. It's like blow dryers out an hour later, take a shower, get it all done, redo the makeup. And they're like, okay, let's get it again.
But this is why I think Jonathan, they potentially have him in mind to become our next bachelor, because he mentioned in his conversation with Jen that he was always looking for a rom-com type of love.
Yeah.
He talked about rom-com energy on their vineyard date. And then when they were making out in the rain, he's like, it feels like it's a romantic comedy. And that's the type
he's
of love
he wants.
He's
got a great personality.
Wants.
I think he'd be a good bachelor.
I think he'd be actually a really fantastic bachelor. And I was feeling pretty bleak about like who could potentially be a bachelor, you know, of who Jen doesn't pick.
Yeah,
I don't know.
We weren't really seeing anybody else.
And now that we've gotten to know Jonathan a little more, I'm like, he's fun. He's playful. He's vulnerable.
He doesn't seem to be like the lead in this show. It seems like he's like a strong contender, but not a top three, four guy.
I think people would be down with him being
so
the lead. But with that rain moment and with his constant rom-com references, and they gave that
they're
to him,
kind of hinting
I'm
at
like,
something.
This to me seems like a build-up for potential bachelor, where his tagline will be like, Jonathan looking for that rom-com type of love or whatever.
Yeah,
so
I see it.
I see that I happening. All right. Next, we have the group date, which is with Devin, Sam, Jeremy, Dylan, Austin, Marcus, and Spencer. They show up. I'm pretty sure Austin cut his top. I saw people posting about that too. You could see like where the scissor marks
were.
Yeah,
he went a little deep.
He went a little deep where it looked kind of like a gorgeous.
Giving more blouse.
Yeah,
than,
more
than,
gorgeous anthropology type shirt.
Yeah, it like went in.
Yeah, it was like he went a little deep. He went a little deep.
Not like he had to tore my sleeves off.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
It was just like, okay, we see you, Austin. But it's a sheep date. Spencer has to be so happy. Every date that Spencer's on, they give him animals.
He loves the animals.
They're like, we're going to set up the pet portrait king with animals.
What's with the sheep that were bouncing?
Well, I think sheep bounce.
But they were doing this thing like every once in a while. They would just jump up in the air. Why
it
is
was
that?
Top 10,
it
so
was
cute.
Very cute.
But I think that's like when, because they're getting so close together and they're getting scared. So they're like hopping
they
up to
bounce.
Protect themselves.
Yeah, it's very funny.
Imagining. I was thinking about how you would be so good on this date. I would imagine that you are just so good with animals. Animals worship you.
I love that.
That I'm like, you would be like an absolute sheep whisperer. I believe you would have crushed this date.
People can come and go. Animals. I'm into this. Like, yes. I would be into this. I would be guilty of forgetting about Jen because I would be so into the sheep.
You would be so into this date. So into this date. But yes, it's a sheep farm, and Diane and Richard run the sheep farm. They've been married for forever as well.
Absolutely doing this for the check.
Oh, 1,000%.
Like they were so, they hated this, but they were like, you know, they're paying us 20 grand to do this. So whatever, we'll do
Diane
it.
Diane
you know?
And Richard were so iconic to me. The way that Richard addressed his absolute disgust and disappointment with the men was top tier.
The beachlerette.
it was his disappointment was top tier.
And he was so like, you guys suck.
When he was seeing that they just didn't even open the gate, and later he was like, yeah, not a lot of intelligence here. I'm like, oh my god, Richard is absolutely
Richard
slamming
doesn't
them.
Have a filter. Richard not. Is not known. He's with the sheep. He's not known for his you know, ability to, you know, charm a crowd.
Yeah, no. Richard was just like, who are these men? This is pathetic.
These guys suck.
Sam M. over here said he grew up on a farm. How does he not know how to open the damn gate when we're supposed
not
to be wrangling
look.
The sheep it into
was an
this
apple
area?
Farm.
Potentially.
They didn't specify on the
they
farm.
They did not specify. But they had them go through all sorts of things, like cutting dingleberries and scooping shit and all of this. And poor Dylan was like in brand new clothes, new shoes, new pants. And he's like, are you absolutely kidding me? Also, I was just thinking about poor Dylan in this situation. Do you know how expensive to get a wardrobe for this show? and he's a med student.
Yeah.
So like, you know, the student debt is through the roof. Like all of our like beloved doctors and nurses have to go to school for so many years and have so much student debt. And he's like, I am in med school and I spent so much money on these brand new clothes and now they're covered in shit. And I didn't even get any alone time with Jen.
Yes.
Brutal.
Brutal. That was a lot of shit.
It was so much.
I thought it was mud.
So did I.
You know, and then I didn't realize there was bricks underneath it. Like, whoa. I thought they were in the mud and it was just like shovel the mud, kind of like whatever. But it was actually ankle high shit.
It was shit that had been trampled and had become a sort of mud source.
I felt it was very gross.
It was intense.
I don't do good with shit. I think it's very gross. And it was the classic, like, you know, you get caught up in the date situation where it's like Sam M is literally shoveling shit and literally trying to do a really good job.
Yeah.
And it's like, guys, how many seasons do we need?
I know.
And Devin was the only one, as normal when it comes to these type of things, to realize this is all pointless.
Pulled her aside.
And it was funny because I thought they were going to give someone else a shot.
Oh, you mean when Richard and Diane declared who the farmer...
Well, there's that. I just even mean like the producers or whatever, like giving someone else a shot to steal her.
No.
Like he just keeps doing it every time and they act every time like it's mind-blowing.
I know.
Every single time he does it, which is every time.
Every single time.
They go, oh, look at him stealing her. Okay. It's like, guys, this is the definition of insanity. Like, it's insane. And then the best thing ever, though, was... him getting like the top farmer of the year.
Yeah. So Diane and Richard, they're like, hey, whoever's the farmer gets extra time with whoever becomes the top farmer gets extra time with Jen. They give Devin the prize, which is so obvious.
Epically rigged.
Such a producer setup. I mean, because no one, like, he was absolutely the least involved in the situation. And the producers were doing this to really rile up the men. Surprisingly, at least from what we saw, didn't get much of a reaction.
You mean the guys?
Yeah.
All the guys are walking off being like, are you kidding me?
No, but I'm saying like they were like, oh, fuck Devin. But then the next or during the dinner portion.
In the past, it would have been much more.
It didn't become a thing. Typically, that would have been like you pulled her and that was disrespectful. Obviously, Salmon was going off and being like typical Devin, disrespectful, blah, 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 blah.
This is where I really missed Thomas. Because Thomas would have pulled him and would have been ding, ding. And he would have been like, we need to talk. You're about your farming skills. They are not respectful. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But it didn't cause any sort of fallout later.
But what I will say, it clipped to them macking. And I'm like, you know, we were talking about their lack of sexual chemistry. It felt like. Seems like that's not really a problem anymore.
Devin got all revved up with the idea of potentially leaving without telling
exactly
Jen.
A little bit of you know, so I don't know, it's like the Mac level's been high for them lately.
Yeah,
it's interesting. He's starting to really rise up.
And we saw in the preview for the rest of the season a scene where Devin is telling Jen, I love you, and they are clearly outside of a home, which makes it look like a hometown.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that the show just revealed to us that Devin is a hometown, locked. And he says, I love you.
He's locked, yeah.
Now, we also do see him, like, crying and her being like, when will it be enough? When will you be ready? Da, 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 da.
Yeah, so, I don't know. It's interesting. Who knows?
But then they have the night portion, and, you know, Austin is distraught.
Mm-hmm.
Austin is very distraught. He's like, all these guys have had so much time. I'm so far behind. And so he ends up pulling Jen aside and he's like, hey, I just feel like I'm not going to have enough time to catch up. So I'm going to leave. Which was a wild. I was actually very surprised by this move. I'm wondering, I'm like, are you just too tired? And you're like, I'm over it.
Yeah.
I was surprised. Or was he feeling that discouraged? Or did he not want to have to get shut down at the rose ceremony? Did he want to end it with her before she could end it with him? I wasn't 100% sure what I was reading from his choice to exit.
I think it was a quit before you get fired.
Yeah.
You know, I also think...
Because he was frustrated, you could tell.
I think that people make those decisions when it's like emotional. It felt emotional to me.
Yeah.
You know, because like the day before he's all freaking out. Now he's leaving and it's like, it's almost like quitting without a job backup.
Yeah.
And then you get home and you're like, I told him. And then you're like,
Oh no.
Why did I do that? Yeah, yeah. That's what it had to me. Yeah. It's like, why leave? Yeah. Why not just stick around until you're gone? Experience the experience. Like, you know what I mean? Have the experience. It's like, why are you leaving? I don't know. It just felt strange
to
me.
He maybe really off camera felt that he knew he was next. Because like, who else would have? I don't know.
I don't know. It just seemed like a strange move to me.
Yeah.
To kind of be in the middle of the pack.
Yeah.
And then just like leave like, hey. I don't know if he was trying to get a reaction. I don't know if he was trying to get her to kind of see if he liked it. I don't know what it was. It just felt kind of like a nothing burger. And yeah. I was just like, why did you go out of your way to do that when yeah. you're not really...
No, you're right. It did feel kind of like an emotional response.
It felt emotional.
Frustrated after the farming date where he cut off his sleeves. He gave it his all. And he was like, this is going to be my moment.
It was I'm quitting the team because I haven't got enough time on the team. And it's like, okay, but then you're going to go home and all your friends are on the team still and you're kind of stuck at home now and you can't play and you're... I don't know. It just felt a little weird to me.
Yeah. No,
I felt like it was a cry for attention a little bit.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, when he left, it really rattled Jen. She all of a sudden, we had like a really vulnerable moment where she was exposing her feelings to producers where she's like, now I am scared because I am not feeling valuable. Mm-hmm. And now I'm embarrassed to go tell these men. And what if more men leave? Now she mentioned, what if Devin starts to feel this way? Sam M starts to feel this way. Marcus. Those were the three that she named, which I find interesting that Sam, Devin, and Marcus were the three that came out. I feel like that's maybe psychologically shows you who her front runners are.
Of course.
But it was like really breaking my heart because the fact that she felt embarrassed to go tell the men that a man left because then she was feeling super insecure thinking, well, if they see that one guy leaves, then maybe they'll think that I'm not worth staying.
Yeah.
And that like really, that really hurt my heart for her. But the guys start, you know, coming around and letting her know, you know, Sam, I can speak for the group to let you know that we all believe that your husband is here. Like, we are your husband.
Yeah.
You know, we all believe that we are your husband.
Yeah, it was like, we all believe. Yeah, it wasn't that your husband's here.
Yeah.
We all believe we are your husband.
Husband.
We
will marry you. Yeah, we as one unit.
It's very weird. Okay. It's interesting. It kind of triggers for me a little bit of a feeling about Jen in general, though, which is like a little walls up when it comes to this process. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a little bit like, I don't want to get hurt. But I'm finding myself with her being like, it's a little self-fulfilling prophecy energy almost, where it's like, I'm afraid to open up to get hurt. So I won't open up all the way and then get hurt. It's interesting. I think if she doesn't turn a corner with her top guys and really start to show vulnerability consistently, she might end up in a place where a couple of the guys kind of go, I don't know.
I do feel like she has been really...
It's starting to go.
But I feel like she has been really vulnerable in all the conversations with these men. I disagree with you.
Okay.
I feel like she said that she has been having an energy where she wants to always appear confident because she's like, this is what they want, right? This is what...
Right.
That's where I was...
Someone told her at some point
that's what I'm
that's
saying.
What
that's what was breaking my heart watching it, where I was like, especially like... as a woman, you know, you get told you need to be this, 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 and this to be appealing instead of just like being yourself and being like, no, fuck that. Like, I'm me. And I think there's that energy of like, oh, I have to present a certain way to be lovable.
Mm.
And that's heartbreaking. But I thought it was amazing that she, when she went and sat down with the men, that she then was super transparent and said, I'm going to be honest with you all. I'm tripping right now.
Yeah.
Because I feel like him leaving is going to make you all feel a certain way about me and like I'm not valuable or, you know, worthy of this and that I'm not doing a good job. And she broke down. And that was like deep vulnerability. Yeah. I would not have had the courage. That was brave shit. Mm-hmm. I would not have had the courage to do that at all.
Yeah.
I'd be way too in my head and be putting up a guard of like, no, I'm fine. I didn't even like him really anyways. On to the next. Here's who gets the group date, Rose. I would have been like, I can't let him see me sweat. So her doing that, I felt was like extremely brave.
Mm.
So I don't know. I disagree with you in that way.
I felt like that was really brave. More what I'm saying is like, I think she's headed in the right direction. I think that like it was starting to feel to me like, okay, there, we better break through some stuff here, or everything's feeling a little surface level between everybody. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I'm feeling it's like we better break through something here, or we might end up with kind of no one's deep enough yet.
Yeah.
You know, so well, I do feel like she's headed in the right direction. I feel like she's taking criticism well, which is like, remember that producer was like, have you told them yet? It's like, no. And then she did it. So I do feel like she's taking, you know, the notes, which is good.
Yeah. There was a moment that I felt like showed to me. I was like, Jen, this is like the red flag energy of Sam. When she was then chatting it up with all the different guys and they were all being like very reassuring and there for her and like supportive of her. And when she sat with Sam, she right away, he was the one guy, at least from what we saw, he was the one guy that she said, does this make you feel differently about me?
Mm.
And it's like, you have to take note. Why do you feel like he's the one person that you're concerned how he feels about you? It's probably because he makes you feel that way.
Yeah.
Because your guys' one-on-one date, he made you feel a certain way. Mm-hmm. I want to be with a woman who's going to do this. He always does with her this whole like, I don't know, think I'm kind of falling for you. Instead of just being like, I think you're wonderful, amazing, I'm here for you. Yeah. I love getting to know you in this process. It's always like, I don't know, think I might like you, maybe not, type energy. So it's like, he makes you feel that way, Jen. That's why he's the one person that you wanted to go to and be like, are you sure this doesn't change how you view me? I feel like that's an important...
Which is clearly like her exes, you know what I mean? So 100%. Sam M is very ex vibes, which is like the, I kind of love slash hate the feeling of wondering and having to kind of be on edge, and it's exciting, but also the worst. And
100%.
And so there's like, you know, if that's kind of her mainly only experience, then she's not really used to good guys.
Yeah. And we even hear her brother in the preview for the upcoming season where he was like, you always go for men who are unavailable emotionally. And I just felt like that was a good learning lesson of like, okay, when you're interested in dating people, something important is like to really sit and pause and think about, why do they make me feel this way? Is it me, or is it because of an energy they're projecting? Are they the one making me feel, is my insecurity just within me, or are they projecting this and maybe they make me feel like I'm not worthy? They make me feel like they might leave me.
Mm.
You know, like I have to stay on my toes
and
all that. So that was her interaction with mostly though, you know, I felt like the guys were good and supportive.
Yeah.
She did have a funny moment with Jeremy.
The petting thing?
Where she's like, why do you keep petting me?
Yeah, it's like...
Jeremy's a little weird.
Guys do that kind of shit, you know, like where like they think that it's just kind of playful and then it's weird. You got to read the room, or like maybe it worked on a girl once and she liked it. And then it's just like, he's just like playing with the top of her head. It wasn't like her neck or her back of her head. It was like the top.
To just like mess up her
basically
hair.
Basically ruining her hair.
Yeah.
And he just kind of thought, I think it was like a dominant vibe. I don't know what it was, but I understood it is more what I'm saying. In like a corny way, I was like, I know what he's trying to do. He's kind of trying to be like, hey, like I'm just in control of this whole situation. Oh, and then she's just like, stop fucking petting me. And it was like, yeah, it was very funny.
Jeremy's an interesting one to me because I feel like I go up and down with him every episode. Like last week I was like, you know what? I'm liking Jeremy's vibe. And then this week with a few of his reactions,
Sam,
I was like,
oh, sorry. Jeremy hits me like Sam N.
Oh,
but
okay.
Later.
Okay.
Because he like talked about how he was like insecure in high school and college and he was kind of awkward and whatever.
Yeah.
But like he's saying that though as like a, I'm a new man energy.
Yeah,
and
glow up thing.
But what I'm saying is like, it's the Sam N energy, which is like, I have my leather jacket on. I could just play with your hair and you're going to love it. It's a little like I've developed a new personality energy. And I think that's the whole, I'm a real estate guy. I pull up in this expensive car. Like he's giving, I am cosplaying as a guy that I think women will like a little bit.
Yeah, no, I hear you. When he said he made the comment where he was like, I haven't had a mimosa since college. And I'm like, what fancy college
did you go to brunch for college?
What fancy college?
Because I'll tell you one thing I never had in college was a mimosa.
I don't think I had a mimosa till our wedding.
Yeah, like that's a brunch move for adults. I don't know a single 19-year-old that's like, oh my God, I love mimosas. They're like, no, I like vodka and cran, dude.
That's some fancy shit. I'm like Captain and Coke.
Yeah, like who at a college party is like, I'll take champagne, please.
Very fancy. But
again, it almost felt like he didn't drink in college, and he was like making up the like, oh my gosh, I haven't had this
even
since
though he
college.
Said he was in a frat, and she was like, are you a frat guy? And he goes, no, I'm not a frat guy.
He's like, no, Sigma Alpha Chi. Yeah.
He's like, I'm not a frat guy at all. The whole interaction
he's
just
so
hit me.
Funny. Yeah.
So weird, so awkward.
He's definitely uncomfortable.
I go in and out. Like I said, He's one that I feel pretty extreme about. This episode, I was like not vibing with him at all. But then the episode before, I was like, you know what? I actually am like vibing with Jeremy. So I don't even know how I quite feel about him.
Yes.
But anywho, at the end of the day, she ends up not giving a group date rose to anyone because she said everyone stepped up and showed her, and she just like doesn't feel fair to give it to one person when you all were like kind and loving with me. Da, 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 da. And then we finally have Grant's one-on-one, which I'm so sorry we have to maybe go through this a little quicker because I do have to send Evan off to work here. I'll just say this overall. I knew it from the very beginning. I'm like, Grant is my king. Yeah. I'm obsessed with him. And this date with Jen just showed me 1,000,000% why I was getting all those feels. I love everything about Grant that we've seen so far.
100%. I think for me, though, the only issue is going to be between two things. Number one is Jen ready for a solid husband energy? Is
she still, Grant gives husband.
Is she still a little tempted by the Sam M vibes?
Mm-hmm.
You know, is she still, can she see through the bullshit? Is she still kind of in her old ways? That'll be interesting to see.
Yeah, because Grant gives husband.
Big husband energy.
Mm-hmm.
Also, you know, is their relationship going to get deep enough to where they can get there? For me, it feels like it's headed there,
mm-hmm.
but it's just, it's very serious and like calm and it's very like they go deep right away. They're right there. I just can't tell if it's the way they're shooting it because we just haven't seen much with them compared to everyone else.
Yeah.
And they seemed very serious and very far along in this date, like especially at dinner when they went through everything. They seem like they connected on a much deeper level than everyone else.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, so I just can't tell if it's editing or not because it's like the first time we're kind of seeing them have some actual quality time together and they're super far along. So but, I'm like, have they been connecting? And
well,
then we're just like
every time
catching
we
up?
See them though, having a brief one-on-one moment throughout like the group dates or the cocktail parties. It's very like,
it's almost like she's kind of put them aside. Like that's a lock.
Yeah.
Let me test out everybody else.
Yeah. Or like, again, maybe via editing, we haven't seen what their one-on-ones look like so much, but I feel like every time we get a brief glimpse during a cocktail party or group date, they seem like very locked in. They're having vulnerable conversation. They're being playful. Like, I don't know.
And she always talks about how hot he is. Like, I do think he's the total package that she knows is the total package.
Mm-hmm.
But she has the Devons and the Sams that are like bringing out that other side of her that I think probably has a tad more excitement and danger to it. So I think that she's probably warring with like the, do I marry my husband?
Yeah.
Or do I keep dating my boyfriends? You know what I mean?
Totally.
Like that's where like head and heart, like, you know what I mean? It's like, what do I do here?
But their date, the date, it was like so romantic.
Yeah.
They're on the horses. And also shout out to Grant who kept the conversation going through the horse riding. Cause I feel like always the conversation can lag when you're far away on a horse.
Mm-hmm.
He's just so tall that his voice can project over so that she can hear from at her horse's length. But they were having great conversation, and then they get to this beach and it's just stunning. And then it starts pouring real rain to the point that they're having to hold, I felt so bad for him, they're holding an umbrella and they're literally, she's shaking, she's so cold, and he's having to hold up this umbrella, they're squeezing. I'm like, can production come in and bring like a tarp or a canopy so they're not having to deal with the elements at this point?
But it creates a little, you know, excitement, a little, you know, what do you call it? Adrenaline in the situation.
But he was seeming to love it. I wasn't sure if she was. I was like, oh no, is it going to distract her too much? Because she was like shaking cold.
Yeah.
But he was like, I love this. Like, it's romantic and da 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 da. And then it stopped raining and then they had like their final moments. Yeah. And it was just like, I don't know. I just find Grant to be, like you said, the total package.
Super
because
calming.
He's also, but he's also playful too.
Yes.
So you're like, there's fun, romantic, cute moments, but then you're getting deep and serious. And then when they get to the dinner portion, you know, he said today was perfectly imperfect, which was, I mean, he's a movie.
Yeah, he is a movie. He's rom-com.
He is the true rom-com.
Or he's the guy in the rom-com who wins.
Mm-hmm.
And then Devin and Sam are the other guys in the rom-com.
Devin and Sam are the guy that she's dating in the rom-com, yes, who's like the asshole boyfriend. And she then meets Grant at work.
Yes.
And it's like, oh my God, he's perfect. Yeah, exactly. And he's in love with her, exactly, and all the things.
Exactly.
But he starts opening up about his dad. And another guy in this episode where he, like a guy that gets very vulnerable.
Yes, big time.
Talked about how his dad was an addict for 30 years and... And it made me really emotional because he was saying that, you know, he's like, my dad is my superhero and I adore my dad, but I didn't know that he was always intoxicated. And one of the worst things is to find out that you didn't know and you feel like really lied to, yeah, as a kid, that you didn't realize that this was happening. But he said that a little bit before he joined the show that his dad had gotten fired. And, you know, his dad called him and he was like, oh, it wasn't my fault. And Grant was like, I'm not hearing that anymore. No. And because of that, his dad checked himself into a rehab and he's under 2 months sober. And he said he's so proud of his dad. And he said it's the first time his dad's living.
Mm.
And that was like, I don't know. I'm like, I feel like we haven't really had a ton of conversation, yeah, about like addiction and sobriety on this show. So I, yeah, feel like that was a really powerful moment. And I love that he was just like, I don't know, the elements of talking about like how his dad is his superhero and there's been these like, you know, countless mistakes because of the power of addiction, but like he stood there by his dad's side, yeah, and now because of Grant's motivation, his dad is like helping himself.
Yeah.
And like Jen said, it shows a lot about who Grant is.
Yeah.
He's a strong man who's a loyal man.
Yeah.
You know?
Completely.
And then she starts talking about one of her exes, this like horribly toxic, like abusive past ex who he sounds horrific, and how she would want to talk to him about racism, about Asian hate, and he would like shut her down and be like, it's not real. And here Grant was saying like, I love that you speak up. I want you to speak up. We need to be on the same length as your partner, like fighting against racism, inequality. And like, I'm there for you in that. And I'm like, Grant is like would be a partner with her. And she's hearing all these things. It's like, he's this loyal, wonderful guy who's there for his family. They're also on the same page. And he like wants her to speak up about this. And they both got teary eyed. They both were getting emotional. And I feel like this was the most, maybe I'm biased, but I'm like, this was the most palpable date that I felt, yeah, where I was like, this was a combination where Jonathan maybe didn't have like that romance energy as much. It was a little more friend. I'm like, this had the playfulness. It had the romance and the like, you know, the hot energy, yeah, there, but it also had the deep vulnerability and the emotion.
Yeah.
And I'm like, it's a win-win and it's done for me. And if Grant's not the final at the end of this, I'm going to freak out. Okay. And then he must be our next Bachelor.
Yeah.
Because he's wonderful.
100%.
And I actually recently had a friend who ran into Grant IRL and she was like, he seems incredibly kind and wonderful, and yeah, was like raving about how wonderful he seems. Mm. So in person, I guess he's great too.
Yeah.
But what was wild, she gives him the rose. Then we have the next cocktail party. And at this cocktail party, Grant declares to the group that he is falling in love with Jen, which was wild.
Wild move to be like Mr. Calm, Cool, Collected, and then just tell everyone that he's falling in love. It was like, whoa. It
was
definitely
like,
did he just kind of have a moment where he felt nervous about it and he just kind of like word vomited? Was it intentional? Was it like kind of dog peeing in the corner of his, of, you know what I mean? I don't know what it was.
Yeah.
It was like not like him. That's a very Devin move.
It was a Devin move.
Like, this would be like the first guy to be like, by the way, I'm falling in love with her. Like, whoa.
It felt to me like, you know, when you just, you got to fucking say something.
Yeah.
I feel like he couldn't contain it. And it gave me that energy because of that moment with him outside with Jonathan.
Yeah.
He starts crying.
Yeah.
And he's like, dude, I'm just really thrown off by like how much I'm feeling her right now. And like, don't tell the other guys I was crying. Like, I don't know what's going on. I think he's just like,
he's getting overwhelmed.
He had that date and it was like, we really connected.
Yeah.
I really like her. Shit. And it was like he sat with the guys and was like, well, I just got to say it. But I'm so nervous now that he said that.
Yeah.
Because I feel like Grant is so gorgeous, so handsome, ex-basketball player that I feel like these guys are going to be very, like, you know, threatened by him in the house because he's so wonderful that he might become like the next target.
I don't think he's going to be a target.
I think it's going to be a race to love her.
So I think all the other guys are going to start saying that. So I think you're going to see Sam. I think you're going to, maybe not Sam, but I think you're going to see Devin definitely say it. So it's going to become like a...
You're right. Devin definitely, now that he heard Grant say that, he's going to be like, I love you, I love you,
He's going to be like, I'm going to go tell her I love her right now. It's going to be that.
Yeah. Oof, you're right. So
like, it puts a target on his back. I think it becomes like, oh shit, I got to step up.
It's the competitive edge.
Yeah.
That was intense though. I'm like, I don't know if we've...
No, it was wild.
...seen something like that before, where like kind of out of left field, it was like, I'm in love with her.
I know. Crazy.
Pretty intense.
It was intense.
And it made me so happy.
Yeah. No,
it was... I was like... That's my guy.
It's a clear
choice. Just out here, just like declaring his love.
It's a clear choice. From the outside.
You know, him saying like, I don't care who knows that I love her. I love her.
Yeah.
I was so into it. Well, then they had the rose ceremony. Grant and Jonathan had roses. First rose goes to Sam. Second rose goes to Devin. And then Marcus, Jeremy, and Spencer and Dylan had to be sent home.
Yeah.
And I really liked Dylan as well. Dylan, even at the beginning of this... episode was like, I feel like I don't have a brother and you guys have become my brothers.
Yeah.
And he was really wanting to get some one-on-one time with Jen. And I felt bad for him too because Austin bailed. So then he's like by himself getting eliminated.
Yeah.
I'm just like, Austin, could you have stayed to
it's
be
like
with
24
like,
hours, dude.
Come
it's like this,
on.
Like, you know.
It was a bummer. But one quick side note, I don't know if you noticed this, but Spencer, his face this episode, I'm like, is he giving villain? Spencer's like having
Spencer's
having like a weird silent arc to me. He like was so golden retriever.
I think he's getting frustrated.
And all of a sudden, every time they show his face, he's like this.
Yeah.
And he's giving me like Batman villain.
And he has his
like
moments where he'll kind of speak
villain.
Up and he's kind of negative about it. He's talking shit on Devin when Devin, like, you know, he's like, he's getting like angry. I think he's the classic end of the pack frustration where you're losing ground. You don't know how to get it. It's too late. You realize it's too late.
I just am
so
like,
then
are
you
we
just
kind of
don't want to say anything.
Okay, are we going to see a villain arc with Spencer? I would kind of live.
I would live for just an explosion, at least from him.
Yeah, because he's giving me Gotham villain right now. He was so golden retriever, but he's so tall.
He towers.
He's very, very tall.
Because he makes all the guys look small. Like when they were walking up at the ranch, it was like, I was like, oh my God, Jonathan's 4'2". Like,
yeah, in
he's
comparison.
So tall.
Yeah. But anywho, then we get the season preview like we talked about with Devin. It looks though like... it's starting to get rough.
Yeah.
Because we're seeing a lot of people. Jonathan's nervous. Grant says he told her he loved her, but he's confused. I'm like, wait, Grant, no. I'm like, I'm hoping, I'm going to believe that is like, he's confused why she hasn't told him yet.
Yeah, hoping
that
this is not
I'm hoping it's not anything about Grant that's negative. Okay.
Right.
Marcus crying and telling her he's not there yet.
Yeah.
And then her telling Sam that her cup isn't filled, crying Devin, being like, when are you going
to
be there with me?
Drama seems to be very much on the horizon.
Deep drama where like all these guys
heartbreak
suddenly
drama.
Seem like they start questioning their connection with her. And then we see that clip at the end where she's like, I'm done letting men dictate my relationships. She's telling Jesse Palmer this and he's asking, are you sure you want to do this? And she says that what I'm about to do, didn't think I would normally ever do. And we see her going up to the rose podium at the final episode. A lot of people are predicting that she proposes. And I was listening very deeply to the way that it was worded. Mm-hmm. And it seemed like that could be what it is. That she ends up proposing. So, I mean, that would be historic.
That would
we
be
have
a switch.
Never seen that. And I will tell you this. If she does do it, our daughter Ember was sitting next to me during the season, like the preview.
Yeah.
And she's like, Mom, what's going on? And I said, I don't know. I think maybe Jen might be proposing. And Ember right away goes, oh, she's so beautiful. Oh my gosh. I hope she does. I'm going to do that one day too.
Yeah.
And I'm like, Jen, if you're out here proposing, I'm like, you're going to be inspiring
the
youth because my daughter is just like, she's beautiful and wonderful. I'm going to propose too one day.
Yeah,
and I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
That's cool.
FYI, Ember walked by and I don't even remember what guy was on the screen. She goes, don't trust him. She said, he's faking it. I was like, really? I didn't see that. You might be right, though.
I swear, she's a little bit like prophetic, mm-hmm. where she'll just, we'll be watching the show. She pops in quickly and says like some hot tea about someone, and then it ends up being
two
right.
2 weeks
and
later, like, it's like dead on. You're like, oh my gosh.
I mean, she said episode one, she couldn't stand Sam. She was like, nah, he's not here for her. Nah, he just wants to get famous.
So far, so like, good, Em. Well, so far, so, so far, good. So good.
The other person that she wasn't vibing with was, Marcus.
Yes.
So we'll see about that. We'll see.
We shall see.
But anywho, family, we love you so much. Have a beautiful day. We'll see you next episode. Okay.
Yes. Bye. Bye.